Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, December 26, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 51, the first paragraph, "This World of Ours Has Made," ending, "To Death for His Astronomical Heresies." Reading and commenting on that one paragraph today. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Juanice N., 12 Traditions, Debbie P., reader of the text, Reggie O., Shelley E., and Eileen M. The reference numbers for Sunday, December 25th, is 19,786. That's 19786. And for this morning, December 26th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,787. That's 19787. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Juanice N. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanice N., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Simi Valley, California. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory. When we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Juanice N. I'm now going to ask Debbie P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. My name is Debbie P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 51, the first paragraph, The World of Ours Has Made, ending to death for his astronomical heresies, reading and commenting on this one paragraph today. I will now ask Reggie O. to begin reading.
Thank you, Dawn, and just so grateful to be here and everybody that's on the line. Grateful that you're here. My name is Reggie O., and I'm gratefully recovered today and living in Texas. And this world of ours has made more material progress in the last century than in all the millenniums which went before. Almost everyone knows the reason. Students of ancient history tell us that the intellect of men in those days, was equal to the best of today. Yet in ancient times, material progress was painfully slow. The spirit of modern scientific inquiry, research, and invention was almost unknown. In the realm of the material, men's minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. Some of the contemporaries of Columbus thought a round earth preposterous. Others came near putting Galileo to death for his astronomical heresies. And the first thing I thought of when I read this paragraph again for the meeting today was the story I had heard about Columbus when Columbus sailed with his three ships to the New World, which we are now living in. And one of the chiefs of one of the Native American tribes at the time was on the shore, and he saw the ships coming in, and he ran back to tell all of his tribe members to come look at what was, to come look at what was coming. And the chief was the only one who could see the ships. The tribe members couldn't see the ships because they had no previous understanding or knowledge that ships existed, so therefore they couldn't get their mind to see them. And I always thought that was really interesting. But as I look at this and in the context of where we are, which is the second step, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, and that we had to find, a power greater than ourselves, because myself, and I think most of us here, ourselves never worked where it came to compulsive overeating. Some unexplainable condition scientifically when you get right down to it, except perhaps for the allergy. And then there's the mental twist. So we had to find a power greater than ourselves to solve our problems. Else, we we wouldn't get very far. And I remember I was, my mind was quite fettered for a long time when I, before and after I came into program off and on. And it was always the latest book or the latest diet or running 5 extra miles a day or you name it. But I knew there had to be something that I could do. And that I didn't know anything else at the time. So I thought there had to be something I could do. And then my first mind shift was when I realized that I was an alcoholic with food after I had been going to Al-Anon and learning about alcoholism and family alcoholism. I'm an alcoholic with food, and that just kind of startled me. I didn't really know what it meant, but I'd seen a lot of alcoholics in my life. And anyhow, I ended up in program, and then, you know, when I heard God, I didn't have a very good picture of God at the time. My God was punishing. The God I knew was punishing, and I didn't claim it as my God. And so there was another piece of fettered mind that I had to get through over time. And, you know, so we come in, you know, we don't come in here because we're trying another diet, I don't think, or most of us don't. We come in because, you know, as one of the traditions says, we really wanted to be healed from compulsive overeating because of the havoc that it's created, well, certainly the havoc that it wreaked in my life, every area of my life. And I think that's true for most of us. And I think, you know, and I will only speak for myself. I had tried everything and nothing worked. And the first meeting I went to, I heard it and I felt it and I saw it in the speaker's eyes. I just didn't know what I was looking at, you know. So what is the evidence we, you know, we look for? That's the evidence we look for. People who understand what we're talking about, they know, because no one else can know. No one else can know what a compulsive overeater goes through or what it takes to get through it besides another compulsive overeater. And the people who know that and have gotten through that generally are to be found in these rooms. And, you know, we can't necessarily see it. We're on the phone, but we can hear it, you know. I can hear it in the voices on the line, you know. I think most of you can hear it on the voices on the line. And there is just so much hope, you know. And the other piece of the hope is that No one says you have to believe in God, but there is a requirement that you believe there's a power greater than yourself, some power greater than yourself, as I had to do. And it's getting to that power. It's getting to that power, which is where the freedom lives. And of course, you know, we, most of us in many respects have never seen that power, because as the book goes on, you know, a few pages later, it says, and where are we to find that power? And that power is to be found deep within ourselves. We don't see that. And, you know, many times we haven't even felt it, or I've felt it, you know, I just didn't know what I was feeling at times. And then I think of Bill's story, you know, when Abby Thatcher, sort of the where this all started in Bill Wilson's kitchen, and Abby Thatcher came to sort of step him, you know, do the step magic on him. And as soon as Bill saw Abby Thatcher, he wrote, there was something about his eyes and that Bill saw. And that comment or comments like that have been made throughout the book. But I think, you know, if we don't have the, you know, if we don't see that or do that, there's plenty of evidence, you know, in the paragraph before, I think the paragraph, let me see if I can get back to it quickly before somewhere. Anyway, it's like there have been thousands, you know, thousands of people who have said that this power greater than themselves, which is responsible for their recovery. And this second step, we needed a power. That's the whole purpose of the book, is to find a power, you know, greater than ourselves, which will restore us to sanity and can remove the compulsion to eat. And that's what the 12 steps do. And I'll say one last sentence, and that's because they unblock us from that power that is deep within us. And thank you for letting me read this today, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Reggie O, for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Eileen
M. Julie E.B.
Eileen M. and Julie E.B.
Uh-huh. Donald S.
Was that Carol S?
Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl S.
Another Mary voice? W.
Was that Mary Lee? Mary Lee W?
Yes.
Okay. I have Eileen M, Julie E B, Cheryl S, and Mary Lee W. Eileen M, go ahead and get us started, please. Press star one, Eileen M.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. What's jumping out at me is the word fettered. The word fettered means to be restricted or limited. So these men in ancient times were limited by superstition, tradition, all sorts of fixed ideas. And, you know, what I thought of when I read that was that, you know, we need to have an open mind to get this program. So we have to give up our old ideas or our old beliefs. You know, as long as we're holding on to them, we're not going to recover. At least that was my experience. And it's so easy to become attached to, you know, fixed beliefs. And, you know, I really had to get that open mind to realize that, hey, this is something that might work for me if I abandon myself to this. And, yeah, I just wanted to sort of stress that. That's what I got from this, is that these men did not have an open mind. You know, they thought, okay, this is the way things work, and we're sticking to it, you know. So, you know, no change could happen, really. So, anyway, so that's what I have. So I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Julie E.B., please share with us, followed by Cheryl S.
This is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I am so grateful to hear this today because there is nothing like time at the holiday or for me a holiday or with family to bring me back to that step one, that I'm powerless and my life is unmanageable. And it's going to need to be a power greater than me, more personal to me, that restores me sanity. And there's three words in here that I use in addition to three other words in We Agnostics to really try to work on my constant agnosticism, my constant desire to do life myself, even living recovered for several years now. And that is the superstitions, traditions, fixed ideas. And the way I do this in my step two, my step 11, is I just try and look like yesterday. What was a superstition? Oh, well, one person didn't want to participate in something. If I become controlling, then everything will be okay. One member of the family is usually chipper and cheery, and they were feeling down. And the tradition is that this person is supposed to lift everyone else up and do the work and keep the group going. Even though that was my family role, I'm expecting that tradition, my youngest child, and that's a blind spot that's blocking me. And the fixed idea that I can only be okay if everybody else in my family is okay, that I can only be recovered today if my kids are healed of the hurt that I did to them and to those around me. And yet instead I have a God personal to me. I didn't have a big white light that took away everything. I've slowly worked this program, and in step two, I try and turn those thoughts to God thoughts, to good thoughts, to the idea that, well, I can go back and I can say to that person, like my higher power seen me, so I can say to that person that isn't chipper, I see you. It's a hard day. I can say to that person I was trying to be controlling with, I'm sorry. I want to be more open. I can go back and then I can go forward instead of waking up today and just having to live restless, irritable, and discontent. That's what this program does for me. In step two and step 11, the sanity comes from deep within me, a fundamental idea of good, that I'm resting. I'm a growing, unfolding child of my higher power, resting in the hands of a loving creator. And that's what I got. And thanks for letting me share. This is Julie E.B., Colorado.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B. Cheryl S., please share with us, followed by Mary Lee W.
Thank you. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada, recovering. And thank you, everyone, for your service today. And just reading this paragraph on the surface, you know, it just sounds kind of bizarre and absurd. It's like, you know, how did these people not realize, or how could you not see what the truth is? And I had a sponsor that used to say, you can't know, you don't know what you can't know, or you can't know what you don't know. That's what it was. You can't know what you don't know. And in this paragraph, it says, you know, the people that came before us were not any smarter than they were, and the people that come after us will probably not be any smarter than we are. But you just don't know until you know something. And for me in this program, one of the things that makes me think about is I eat the way that I eat in this program. And if people will constantly say to me, oh my gosh, you have such willpower. And there's one person in particular who's very close to me. And I always say, it's not me. You know, you've known me for a long time. And you know that left to my own devices, you know, with food, I have no willpower and I eat like crazy. And, you know, it's a power greater than me. But it just isn't something that she can accept. And I guess that's because she has willpower when it comes to her food, because she doesn't have this disease. And the other thing that this paragraph made me think about was the contempt before investigation that's talked about in one of the appendixes. And that kind of goes to that fettered mind, that when we have a closed mind, then we don't even take the time to investigate. And that's what it sounded like. You know, back in with these the examples in this paragraph, you know, Columbus believed that the earth was round and he could sail around it. And other people didn't even want to investigate. They just wanted to ridicule him. And with Galileo, they not only wanted to ridicule him, but he was so threatening to their belief that they wanted to kill him. And somebody had said to me on an outreach call that she was having dinner, a Christmas dinner, with her ex-husband and her son. And the ex-husband, they were trying to figure out where they were going to eat. And she said, well, I'm just going to eat what I regularly eat. And he said, well, that's no fun. And I was thinking about that this morning, and it was like, if I went out to a restaurant with somebody and they said, I'm going to have, you know, a hamburger and french fries, I would never think to myself, well, that's no fun. It's just, you know, that closed-mindedness, which it goes to
time.
Something else. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. Marilee W., please share with us, and then I'm going to be opening up the line to take more names. We're on page 51, the first paragraph. This world of ours has made, ending to death for his astronomical heresies. So, Marilee W., please share with us.
This is Marilee W. I live in Colorado, and I'm a recovered overeater, compulsive eater, restrictor. And I just, when I first read We Agnostics, I was not happy about this chapter. I did not understand it. There was a lot of wording I didn't understand. And, you know, someone talked about the context of step two is that, you know, and I'm looking back on page 45, is that lack of power is my dilemma. Starting with, I don't have the power to not be obsessed with food, to not put alcoholic foods into my body and control them. So I've lost the power of control and choice. And in that place, it brings me to step two. And it's, you know, this chapter really, you know, reminds me also of open-mindedness, hope, and it starts to talk about willingness. You know, do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe that there is a power greater than myself? And I couldn't even believe that there was a power greater than myself. But there was a hope that I too saw in other people's eyes in the fellowship that, and in their voices, because we're on the phone, that it that it too could work for me because they had the same disease that I had. And that was the simplicity of step two. I spent time trying to overanalyze step two and then continued to go back out and relapse. And that almost killed me. So it's been my experience that the steps to keep moving through them, if I do have that willingness to move forward and just a little bit of open-mindedness. I love the lay aside prayer. I was saying it this morning. Also around my family. So that simplicity. And then as I move in 10, 11, and 12, this chapter has really opened up for me, is that I too picked out those words, superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. It reminds me of the fourth step. You know, what are my ambitions? Yesterday was not the easiest day around family, but it is really my fixed ideas that my family needs to show up a certain way and that the holidays need to look a certain way. And I can expand that to almost every day of my life, of that how other people need to show up. So as I live in 10, 11, and 12, this opens up. But the simplicity of step two, you know, is really just this willingness to keep moving forward, and that there's something that else out there other than my egoic mind that keeps me sick. And that even today, you know, today saying, God, I just don't know. Help me let go of that desire that I know because the disease is in my mind. What is today, what is right for everybody? But in the beginning, that helped me let go of what I think I know around the steps, around what I think is going to work, around what it's going to look like, again, because I just don't know. So that's what I got. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marilee W. from Colorado. Now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share?
Linnea.
I heard Linnea.
Denise.
I heard okay. Okay, I heard a Noel E. And
Elena C.
Elena.
Denise C.
Rob
G. Was that a Denise E?
Denise C as in cat.
Denise C as in cat. Okay, I have Linnea, Noel, Elena C, Denise C, and who did I miss?
Dina W.
Roz G.
Dina W.
Tina.
Roz G. Oh, Tina.
Natalie. Yeah.
Okay, Tina. And a Roz G. And who else did I miss?
Debbie V.
Debbie V.
Deborah G.
Was there someone else before Deborah G?
Natalie S.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and put you down, Natalie. Okay, and let me tell you who I have now. I have a big, long list. Linnea, Noel E., Elena C., Denise C., Tina W., Roz G., Debbie V., Deborah G., and Natalie. And Linnea, please start us off. Give me your initial and where you're calling from, please.
Good morning. My name is Linnea B., recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. Thank you so much for the meeting this morning. Thank you, Reggie, for getting us started. You know, last night in the middle of the night, I got up to use the bathroom, and in my mind, my groggy state of mind, I was thinking about what I could eat today to lose weight. And for me, that is a diet mentality that is a hallmark of my illness. And I heard my thinking like this in my groggy state of mind, and I said to myself, or said to God, oh, God, help me. You know, went back to sleep, and here we are now. So, and what this reminds me of is that I have an illness that is a physical allergy coupled with a mental obsession. And when that food is down, you know, so that I'm not triggering my physical allergy, then these steps and this program work on the problem that is in my mind. And because that's where the problem lies, and that's where the, you know, spiritual experience can really show up and make a significant difference and keep me away from that food. And not only keep me away from the food, but make me fully present in life. My dad said to me on the phone yesterday, he said, "You sound better than I have heard you in many years." And he was, I don't think he used the word better. I think he said happier or something like that. Which was, to me, that is a complete example of what this paragraph talks about. You know, it's asking me to be open-minded. And it's giving me some really great reasons to see how and to believe, to have hope that if my thinking had been this way, that it can really be a full 180 or 360. Or but anyway, a full 180, because it seems ludicrous, you know, that Galileo was almost put to death, you know. But, and so that just tells me, you know, hey, just believe what's in this book, Lumiere. Put this stuff into action. You know, they're making a really great reason, a really great case that I can trust and believe in. And maybe this applies to me too, because, well, not maybe. I mean, for me, it 100% applies. So I'm thrilled that they wrote this stuff.
Time.
Out. So thank you. Thrilled that we have this book to try to duplicate. Have a great day, everybody. I'll pass.
Thank you, Linnea B. from Minnesota. Noelle E., followed by Elena C.
Hi, this is Noelle E., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater here in Louisiana. Happy Boxing Day. Thank you to everybody doing service on the line for this meeting. I'm very moved by this paragraph. I think it, what it, what's coming up for me as I share it is even just the script in my own, you know, family of origin about yesterday, about what it means to be a mother yesterday. It's kind of what's coming up. Like the fact that I didn't make a, you know, that I didn't make a big Christmas dinner, that the day wasn't centered around food for my family. I don't know that, you know, it's not an astronomical heresy, but there are people in my life who are being like, what? You know, I had my abstinent. I had the same thing for lunch and the same thing for dinner. I had just abstinent food that was in the fridge. And my husband fed my kids food that was available. And you know what? It was the best Christmas of my life so far. And I, you know, there are still people in my life who are astounded by that behavior, that it's kind of anti what it means to be a mother or a caregiver or a wife or whatever. And, you know, I get to believe in my higher power every time my disease starts to talk to me so strongly. And that's the thing that keeps me, like, the evidence of a power greater than myself is because there's already a dangerous power that I'm, you know, powerless to. If there's one that can work this severely against me, there is no question in my mind that there's one that can work, you know, ultimately for me and rescue me, because I'm powerless in one direction. Obviously, I'm powerless in the other. So thank you all for letting me share and for the previous shares. And I'm very glad to be powerless. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Noelle E. from Louisiana. Elena C., followed by Denise C.
Good morning, everyone. This is Elena C., and I spell my name E-L-E-N-A from South Carolina. So what struck me in this paragraph I read what happens to men to me when I resist, resistance. And so what that means is, you know, I hear something new that I never thought before, and I don't stay a while and pause and think about what it was said, but it just goes straight ahead and tell what I believe in and not have an open mind to understand what the other person was saying or what's given to me from my higher power. So the sentence, the spirit of modern scientific inquiry, research, and invention was almost unknown. It doesn't say the knowledge of modern scientific inquiry. It says the spirit. And what that means is that these inventions were not necessarily created by men. There was something beyond ourselves that were talking through them to create what, posited what Columbus was posited about the earth, what Galileo was saying about the earth and the sun. And, you know, I know in psychology, people who say, because I work in psychology, people say, posit different theories. This is not coming from me. I was just a channel, you know, and I would have never believed that if I wouldn't have been exposed to 12 steps of recovery. Now, resistance, right? So the more I close up my mind and don't hear new ideas, which are messages from my higher power, the more I shy away from the light of the spirit. And all I need to do one day at a time is keep an open mind, hear the universe, and hear through the universe, through people, through something else, through signs or whatever, what the message is for that day for me in order to help other people, show up for people with my higher power, not show up with people with Elena Brain, because Elena Brain was my master. And I'm very grateful that I'm not there today. And I like this paragraph that reminded me of that. And I'm grateful to be here with that op-ed.
Thank you, Elena C. from South Carolina. Denise C., please share, followed by Tina W. Star 1, Denise. Okay, perhaps she had to step away. Let's go with Tina W. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. Good morning. This is Denise C. I'm a compulsive overeater from Tennessee. This is so funny that I am going to comment on this paragraph because I never really understood it. This morning, I looked up the word fettered, and it means restrained with chains or manacles, typically around the ankles. And this reminded me of myself because before OA, I was chained to my food, the world, people's opinions, my feelings, and especially my circumstances. I'm so thankful now to have OA and a vision for you to help me and to show me how to navigate life, how to work the steps. I have been so blocked off from my higher power for so long because I've tried to fill the hole in my heart with everything but my higher power. So I'm really thankful for this paragraph just to remind me of what I was like. And that if I continue with OA and doing the steps every day, that my life can be changed and I can be unblocked and that I can finally walk in the sunlight of the spirit. Thank you for letting me share, and I hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you so much, Denise C. from Tennessee. Tina W., please share with us, followed by Roz G.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm Tina W. from South Jersey. I didn't get abstinent completely until 2 years ago. I was filled with these ancient old ideas, filled with all my superstitions and everything I thought I knew was right because all I know is what I know. And I was living in that realm, disconnected from my higher power from the time I was peeling gum off sidewalks at 3 years old. So I never grew. The food was stifling me from growing. And I had no clue that what I was thinking and feeling and believing wasn't the truth. I wasn't seeing the truth from the false. So until I was completely without any answers, without any way of changing my life, and I was suffering in my disease, and it was no longer about food. It was about the mental and spiritual turmoil and hell that I was living. Was I willing to do what someone told me to do and put down the food and do the steps and do them to the best of my ability? Half measures avail us nothing. That's when the spiritual awakening came about, and I started to see that my thinking wasn't right. I know it's hard to believe that I wasn't right, and everything I was believing and all the stories I made up in my mind about people and situations and these false scenarios that were going on, that, you know, I was living over and over and over, repeating the cycle until I got into steps 10, 11, 12, and I could start to see I had these fixed ideas that need to be changed. And I have to live on a spiritual level now of constantly questioning. If I have a problem, if I have a resentment, it's because I have a problem. No one else does. And I can't change anybody but myself. So the preposterousness of believing that I was right, I truly believed I was, like a fish in water. You know, there's water. All I live in was water. All I live in is my ideas. And my resentments and my fears, I can't see them until I put the food down. And living in the spirit is a constant, ongoing, every day, unraveling, unfolding, looking at every rock and turning them over and letting my higher power remove them from my life so I can grow. And I'm not stunted anymore. I'm not 3 years old emotionally anymore, spiritually and mentally. I'm growing into a woman, and it doesn't take another 58 years to go there. It happens in a matter of days and minutes and hours. And I'm being the woman that God intended me to be without this food. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Tina W. from South Jersey. Roz G., please share with us, followed by Debbie V.
Good morning. It's Roz G. I'm out walking, so you'll hear some background noise. Thank you. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I love what I've heard, especially the last year. And what I hear, what I see and I interpret in this paragraph is Galileo and Columbus, especially Columbus, I learned as an elementary school kid that he had the gall to say that the earth is round. Ha, ha, ha. What a stupid fool. Well, guess what? We found out that the earth is round. And, you know, that these guys who were ancient thinkers of universe, that it was way longer than we thought it was, turned out to be right. So when I come into program, I'm a recovering know-it-all, and you aren't going to tell me how to do things. But why am I here? Because I want to look good and lose weight. Well, that didn't work for many years. But I still stayed around because I have a big ego and I want to share, if you can hear me. But I have to be beaten down. The task, the whip. Bill says it. It's a task. It's a whip. It's a master. We have to be badly mangled. We have to be in a black hole. Or at least, let me say for me. Sorry, I'm saying we. But, you know, it is a weak program. But I had to be whipped. I had to be in pain. I had to go through surgeries. I had to relapse and eat whole pizzas while driving on my way home from therapy before I would do something about it. And so your guys' ideas weren't so crazy after all. I mean, I have to text my food. I mean, I have to tell you what I'm eating. Yeah. Well, this is what this whole thing is all about at first. And I hated to do that. And I still think it's a task, but I have to do it. Every morning I send my food to somebody. If I don't, I'm going to start eating whatever I want. But that was an idea that was given to me who knew better. So yes, open-mindedness and taking the actions of someone who has an answer was the answer for me.
And if I get cocky, I'm going to go right back to what I was doing before.
So I thank you
and I pass. Have a great day.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. Debbie V., please share with us, followed by Deborah G.
Hello. Thank you so much. This is Debbie V., recovered in Virginia, gratefully recovering from compulsive eating. I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to our fellowship, one of the legs of the three-legged stool. Without all of you and without vision, I don't have the vision. When I was growing up in the 50s, it was all about a diet. It was pushing yourself away from the table. And that's what my ancestors said. It's just a matter of willpower. And I heard that over and over again. And morally, there was something incorrect because I could not push myself away. And then more was to be revealed. It's an allergy. It's a disease. There's the phenomenon of craving. It goes on and on in the big book. It's all cited there. And I just needed someone to show me. And that's what all of you do. You hold the vision, the promises. You hold all of these things, and then I see, and I am open, and I act with the power greater than self. It's steps 1, 2, and 3. Once I'm surrendered, then I'm open, and the food is down. Then I have the clarity. I come to believe, and I act as if, and I keep believing, and I watch. I listen, and I learn. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you to my first sponsor who carried out the thesis of this book, and that was to connect me to a power greater than self. I called her up. It was an anniversary on Christmas Eve, and I thanked her again. And this is 15, 16 years later, and I still am so appreciative. And may I do that for another, and may I continue doing that for my sponsees. Thank you for listening, and blessings. I pass.
Thank you, Debbie V. And we have about 30 seconds or 1 minute share for Deborah G.
Oh, thank you, Dawn, for your service and everyone for 12-Step and me and making this meeting possible. And I just want to say I am just so grateful, Deborah G. from Arizona, for the abstinence and being here on this line and having that awareness, because I was asleep for so long, and I'm just so grateful, full of joy and happiness and freedom because of this program. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. And I'm sorry, Natalie, please come back tomorrow and share. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you to everyone who shared, making this meeting just absolutely a beautiful experience. I'm now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
You bet. Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. Page 164, the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Hear freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.